Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for today's message. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll begin at verse 6. I preached on this last week in the message entitled, A True Christian Worldview. And that was part one. This is part two. We're going to go through this chapter. And what I'm talking about here is how a true believer, a sinner saved by grace, views the world. What is our worldview? How do we view the world? How do we view ourselves in relationship to the world if we're true Christians? And we're talking about the Apostle Paul's writings here as he wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 2, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." The wisdom that he's talking about there is the gospel. The gospel is the revelation of God to his people, wherein Christ is revealed. The Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in his person as God in human flesh, without sin, the God-man, the Savior of his people, who came to this earth, obeyed the law, went to the cross, and died as the substitute, the surety and substitute of his people, God's elect, his sheep, his church, and satisfied the justice of God in order to justify the people of God. How can to be justified means to be not guilty. It means to be righteous. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the wisdom of God in establishing righteousness for his people. And this is the wisdom of God among them that are perfect. Now, remember last week I mentioned this. The word perfect there doesn't refer to any moral, sinless perfection in us, in a believer. It refers to the completeness of a believer in Christ based on his righteousness imputed. And we went to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is, in the person of Christ as God-man, we see the fullness, the glory, the completeness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit revealed. And verse 10 says, and you are complete in Him. And that's what he's talking about. The perfect here means they are complete, they are fully saved unto glory. And he says in verse 6, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. This message of grace, salvation by grace, did not come from any human being, any fallen, sinful human being, not even the best of human beings, the princes of this world, the religious elite, the philosophical elite, the economical elite, didn't come from them, didn't come from any human think tank of intellectualism. It's a revelation from God. Paul wrote about that in Galatians. He said, the gospel that I believe, the gospel that I preach is not of man. It's not of this world. It's of God. And so that establishes the worldview of a true Christian. There's one way of salvation. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way of forgiveness. That's by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means his death. There's one way of righteousness. That's Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen from the dead. And I have no righteousness before God except what I have in Christ imputed, charged, accounted, reckoned to me. The gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God. Romans 1:16 and 17. That's Christ in the merits of his obedience unto death, imputed, charged, accounted, reckoned to his people. There's no righteousness in me. I have the Holy Spirit who indwells me by the Spirit, and Christ indwells me by the Spirit and by the Word. But I'm still a sinner saved by grace. And I won't be perfect, sinlessly perfect in myself until I leave this world and go to be with Him. So you understand that. Now, that kind of wisdom doesn't come from man. It comes from God. Look at verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 2. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now he's talking to the believers here. And he says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." What does that mean? Mystery. You know, man by nature is drawn to mysticism. You've heard of mysticism. Mystical religions. That's not what's being taught here in the Bible. A mystery in the Bible is something that man, in his fallen state, cannot find out. He cannot know. You might think of a mystery as like a mystery movie or a mystery book, you know, where you get certain clues and you put all the clues together and you figure out who did it or whatever. That's not what a mystery is in the Bible. The mystery that he's speaking of, and a mystery in the Bible, is something that if you find it, if you know it, God must uncover it. God must reveal it. You understand that? The gospel is by revelation. Paul wrote, I quoted part of it earlier, in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And what Paul's point here is, and this is how the worldview of a Christian is established. He's pointing out here that this truth, this wisdom, this power of God did not come from man. It's the hidden wisdom. Man could not know it, but God ordained before the world unto our glory. This wisdom, this way of salvation, the gospel in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ was established before the world began. Paul spoke of that in 2 Timothy when he talked about the salvation which was given us, that is, God's chosen people, the church, believers, those who come to faith in Christ, given us before the foundation of the world. So man had nothing to do with concocting this message. Man has nothing to do authoring this message. It didn't come from man. It come from God alone. This is a message of God. And how do you know it? Because it's a mystery. No human religion, no human philosophy has ever come up with anything that comes close to this. And this is what he says in verse 8. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8. He says, "Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now think about that. Man by nature does not know or see who Christ is and why he even came to earth. Man by nature. Now that's the natural man over there in 1 Corinthians 2:14. We'll get to that later on. You see, if man knew who Christ really was, we wouldn't have crucified him. And I'm talking about fallen humanity there. It's not just a group of people in history, because the ones who actually were instrumental in the crucifixion of Christ, they were representative of all of fallen humanity, including us. You see, that's the way we have to look at the Bible. That's again, that worldview. Now, the crucifixion of Christ was ordained from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. Peter preached that in Acts chapter 2. But when Christ came, man didn't know who he was. They didn't. The man by nature didn't look and say, well, here comes the Lord of glory. Well, we wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. What does the Bible say? That how does man by nature, before the revelation of the mystery, look at Jesus Christ? Well, look at Isaiah chapter 53. And this is a prophecy of Christ. And Isaiah starts out in verse 1 of Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? That's our teaching, our doctrine. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is a human way of referring to God's power. So what we're talking about here is the wisdom and power of God in Christ. Verse 2 of Isaiah 53. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry, out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, that's how the natural man views the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. That's how I viewed the Lord Jesus Christ, even in my religion, thinking I was a Christian when I wasn't. Now, that's so. The true Christ of the Bible as revealed. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says in verse 9, now listen to this. He says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now let me ask you a question. Do you love God? Do I love God? Not your idea of God. You know, so many people today who claim to love God, they in reality love themselves, not God, because they reject the truth of God as He is revealed and identified and distinguished in the Bible. And they bring God down on their own level and they make a God like themselves, and so in reality they love themselves. For example, let me give you an example of this. You know, when we talk about the Christian worldview, what does that involve? Well, it involves who God is. Now listen to me. Who God is as He says He is in this book. From Genesis to Revelation. And then it involves who I am as I am exposed in this book. From Genesis to Revelation. And then thirdly, it involves how God saves sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? What did He do? Why did He do it? Where is He now? All of those things establish the Christian worldview. For example, if I were to tell you that God is absolutely sovereign in all things, that He is the determiner of all things, that He works all things after the counsel of His own will, He saves whom He will. That's what He says. That's what this book says. He chose a people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ, conditioned all of their salvation on Christ, His Son, and sent His Son into the world to fulfill those conditions and secure their salvation. That's who God is. He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. You say, well, I don't believe in that kind of God. Well, whatever God you believe in and love is not the God of the Bible then. You're reasoning from your own natural way of thinking rather than the revelation of God. And what you really love is yourself. What does the Bible say about man by nature? It says that we are dead. We fell in Adam, ruined by the fall, and we are born spiritually dead. And even in that state, we can rise to great heights of religion and charity, but we cannot and will not choose the right way of salvation to the praise of the glory of God's grace in Christ. What does the Bible say about the way of salvation? It's all of grace. There's not one blessing of salvation that we can earn or deserve. It's freely given of God. Now let me show you that. He says, this has not even entered into the heart of man. The natural heart. Jeremiah said it over here in Jeremiah 17. Let's just look at that. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Listen to this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, is that talking about somebody else or talking about all of us by nature? It's talking about all of us by nature. The natural heart. Now, the natural heart, the mind, the affections, the will, the conscience can, again, rise to great heights of religious sincerity and dedication and charity, but the natural heart will always deceive us when it comes to God's way of to the way of salvation. That's what deceived Cain. That's what deceived multitudes who insist on salvation conditioned on themselves in some way, at some stage, to some degree. And that's why he says in verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, how does that apply to the world? Well, what are the fruit of the world's doings? Any individual who's seeking salvation by their works, what's the fruit of that? It's fruit unto death, the scripture says. But look back at 1 Corinthians 2. He's talking about those who prepared for them, what God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, any sinner who truly loves God knows this. He's a sinner saved by grace. God has saved him based upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has shed abroad within his heart, the new heart, the scripture says, the love of God. And he knows this. He loves God, but he don't love him perfectly. That's right. Salvation is not based on my love for God. It's based on his love for me in Christ. And secondly, he knows this. He knows that that love is the product, the fruit of God's grace. It's not natural. So look at verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, any sinner who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, any sinner who loves God, truly loves God, that's the product of God's grace in Christ by the Spirit in Revelation, in the new birth, when He regenerates, converts a sinner, gives him a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind, new affections. That's what the scripture teaches. The natural heart, all right, will not bring a sinner to love God, to believe in Christ, to walk by faith. Faith is the gift of God. The new heart's the gift of God. It's all the gift of God. It's by the Spirit. The revelation that comes from God in Jesus Christ, it's a gift of God. Because we don't know these things by nature. We can't figure them out. We can't find them out. It's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, who applies this revelation and knowledge, because it's the Spirit that searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, what are these deep things of God? It's the gospel. It's the wisdom of God. The question was posed in the book of Job several times. How can a man, a sinful, wretched man, be just with God? How can God be just and justify a sinner like me? Man can't figure that out. He has no idea. Fact, the religions of man don't even pose the question, let alone have the answer. That's the deep things of God, how God can be both a just God and a Savior. You see what I'm saying? God is holy and righteous and just, and He must remain so. He cannot deny or ignore or oppose himself, his holiness, his justice, his righteousness, his truth. Even when he saves a sinner, he must remain just. Now, God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. God is a gracious God. But he must be both just and justifier, a just God and a Savior. When he shows mercy, that mercy must be based upon a righteous, just ground. That's what was pictured in the tabernacle and the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, and the high priest would bring the blood of the spotless lamb from off the altar of sacrifice, and he'd bring it into the Holy of Holies, and he'd sprinkle the mercy seat with blood. It's a mercy seat, but blood had to be shed. What? Justice had to be satisfied. God is a loving God, but he cannot and will not show love to any sinner, any person, apart from justice satisfied, apart from Christ. The love of God is in Christ. I'm telling you this, here's the God of the Bible. There is no love for me, for you, for any sinner outside of Christ. There's only hatred. And God's hatred is not emotional or sinful. God's hatred is his justice against sin, his wrath poured out on a righteous, just ground. Jacob have I loved, he said. Esau have I hated. You say, well, it's not fair that God hated Esau. Well, too bad. That's what the Bible says. It is fair. God is not going to do anything unjust. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right, Abraham asked? And the answer is yes. You say, well, I don't understand how all that works. You don't have to. That's what the revelation of God says. Now, which God are you going to serve? Which God are you going to worship? The God of your imagination who's like you, or the God of the Bible who reveals himself in Christ? God is a gracious God. But Romans 5:21 says, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, justice satisfied, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the deep things of God that no person knows apart from God's revelation of himself by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 11. He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? The natural man cannot rise any higher than the spirit that's in him, which is the spirit of sin and death. He can attain great heights of religion. Think about Saul of Tarsus. How high he rose in the Jewish religion, which was an evil religion. It was a religion of unbelief. They rejected Christ. But Saul of Tarsus rose to great heights. Think about those who rise to great heights in the religions of man, okay? But he can't know the deep things of God, the gospel of salvation by God's grace, even though he rises to those religious heights, moral heights, heights of sincerity, because of the spirit that is in him, the life that's in him. The life that's in him is not spiritual life, it's death. That's why we have to be born again by the Spirit. So he says in verse 11, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Man has breath. That's what that word spirit means. He has life, but he has no spiritual life. And he says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit in the new birth who gives spiritual life. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born from above. The new birth is a literal resurrection from the dead, spiritually speaking. The Holy Spirit gives life from Christ. You see, what Christ did on the cross is the ground of a sinner's justification before God. What the Holy Spirit does in the sinner in the new birth is the fruit of what Christ accomplished. And so we can even say it this way. When the Holy Spirit gives life, When sinners are born again, the Holy Spirit imparts the resurrection life of Christ. And He gives them knowledge. He gives them a new heart, eyes, spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear. Remember, the Lord told the disciples in Matthew 13, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear." That's what the Bible calls the circumcised heart, spiritually circumcised. And so it's only by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, the gospel. And listen to verse 12. Now, this is really important. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Now, this goes back to the worldview, a true Christian worldview. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." In other words, if you're a believer, if you're born again by the Spirit, if you've been redeemed by the blood, chosen before the foundation of the world, at some point in time, you will receive not the spirit of the world. You already have that by nature, but the Spirit which is of God. Now, that's talking about the new birth. How do you know that you've received the Spirit of God, the Spirit which is of God, and are not left in the spirit of the world? Well, look at the next line in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Look at it. "That we might know the things that are" what? "Freely given to us of God." There it is. In other words, those who are true believers, true Christians, who have that Christian worldview, they know the things that are freely given to them of God. Now, that word "freely" means unconditionally, without a cause. That means whatever you have that is of God in the way of salvation, in the way of the wisdom of God and the power of God, it's free. You didn't earn it, and you didn't deserve it. And we'll pick up there next time, and I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.